You. So continue.
To open my eyes so that I can see. Open my ears that I can hear. And perceiving on a regular basis as I hear this word to come alive. And let it be personal to me. Amen. And amen. I want to share a short dream that I had yesterday morning, and it was very real. Sometimes, you know, you can have a dream, and even when you wake up, the dream continues. It was in full color. And in the dream, I'm making a cake. It's a rectangular cake. But the focus isn't on the big cake. The focus is on, I would call it a can of pineapples. It's got the label, and I can see the yellow on the outside of the can, and the cake batter's inside, and I'm going to cook out of that can, which didn't make sense. And the third part, is an oblong little aluminum container that when my wife made date nut bread, she would make several of those. And of course, I enjoyed. So, but these are all, they're like mocha in color. And it's mocha on the top, okay? And it's like, maybe like a German chocolate look on the outside, but no nuts. And I am working on the oblong one, and I wake up. And I'm organizing a chocolate glaze. And I'm not doing too well because I've got tools that don't seem to be working right. But I'm not happy with the glaze because it's not coming out like even. And I wake up. And I'm still seeing it. It's as colorful as a mocha color would be. And the top is all chunky. And I said, God, this is awesome. And all I heard was, enjoy. Celebrate. It's time to eat cake. And of course, you know, obviously I couldn't eat cake that morning, but I felt like it. So as I went through the day, it would come back because I lost it after that. I did normal things and, you know, you brush your teeth and you... And when Irene got up, all of a sudden she happened to make a comment and I said, oh my God, I had a dream. And I shared with her about the cake. Of course, we would probably both have had a piece of it and shared it, but obviously it was a dream. The bottom line that I'm giving you to is sometimes you dream and the message isn't the item. The message is the celebration. And so I'm looking at the one thing that keeps coming to me now is that pineapple can signifies the timing of the pineapple. How many years does it take to grow a pineapple? Anybody know? I think it's about 5 years. Because, you know, it has to be transplanted and so on and so forth, and before you get an edible fruit. So that part was weird, but that can was predominant, and I could see the color. And I wasn't happy about the shape. It was just the cake was in there, and it was going to be cooked in there. And but again, the aluminum pan, you know, it's not my favorite container, but I had a sense that it was oblong, and the big cake is down the road. That didn't come back, but that was the first part. So for some odd reason, there's going to be a small celebration. I have a sense that it's been 5 years or more in the making. And the byproduct is the finding, the frosting of the coordinates are now, because that's what I was doing in the now. So I have a sense that that's part of that word that God gave me on Sunday, that something is about to happen that we are going to be very excited about. And it's not the only celebration. I think the big cake is coming down the highway. Okay? So I want you to come with me to Romans chapter 7. And Romans chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 21. This is hopefully going to open you up to let you see how self-condemnation is so destructive. Verse 21, you can read the whole thing later on if you want. But I'm using the Passion Translation because of some of the footnotes. Though my experience of this principle, I discover that even when I want to do good, evil is ready to sabotage me. I like that word because its intensity of sabotage, because you don't know how it started or how much of it has already been completed. Truly deep within my true identity. That is good. Truly deep within my true identity. What is that? That's the spirit within me. It's not about the soul and the body. It's about the real me. I love to do what pleases God. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. That part is easy. But I discern another power operating in my humanity, waging war against the moral principle of my conscience. Now, your conscience is really a war against your mind. And your conscience is part of your spirit, which is kind of cool, because it reminds you of what is correct and what is off-center. So I thought that was kind of neat to be able to see that clearly. Again, 22, truly deep within my true identity, I love to do what pleases God. But I discern another power operating in my humanity, waging war against the moral principle of my conscience, and bringing me into captivity as a prisoner to the law. Now, a prisoner to the law is what you've lived with throughout your background, because that's rules and regulations and results. The law of sin. This unwelcome intruder in my humanity, unwelcome intruder in my human part. What an agonizing situation I am in. So who has the power to rescue this miserable man from the unwelcome intruder of sin and death? Now, when you see sin and death put together, you know, it's intense to see how they work together. I give all my thanks to God, for his mighty power has finally provided a way out through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. So if left to myself, the flesh is aligned with the law of sin. But now my renewed mind is fixed on the submitted to God's righteous principles. Again, look at this one because it's very important. I give all my thanks to God, for his mighty power has finally provided a way out. finally weigh, it took 4,000 years to get to this point. Through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. So if I left to myself, the flesh is aligned with the law of sin, but now my new renewed mind is fixed and submitted to God's righteous principles. So now, the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus. I like the word life union. Because again, life is united in Christ Jesus, and they are intertwined within my spirit. Now my soul fights it because it wars against it. Then Jesus, the Anointed One, for the law of the Spirit of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated me from the law of sin and death. It says us, but I like to personalize it because, again, it's all about how I survive. Amen? For God achieved what the law was unable to accomplish. That is the clearest, simple point that I think is so important. Because the law was limited by the weakness of human nature. Now, that's clear as well. Yet God sent his Son in human form to identify with human weakness, clothed with humanity. Now, you can describe Jesus in multiples of ways, but I think when you look at it from this point of view, you see God's love for his creation. God sent us his Son in human form to identify with human weakness. Clothed with humanity, God's Son gave his body to be a sin offering so that God could once and for all condemn the guilt and power of sin, which obviously was Adam's failure. So now, every righteous requirement of the law can be fulfilled through the Anointed One living his life in me. How? By Holy Spirit. And we are free to live, not according to our flesh, but by the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit, which is the spark that we've talked about. That Holy Spirit comes to you when you least expect it. In fact, you're just walking along doing your stuff, and all of a sudden, an awareness comes, and it sparks life where death was trying to bring in all kinds of deception. Now, there's a footnote on this one, which is D. Those who are in Christ Jesus cannot be condemned. Did you hear that? Amen. Say it with me. Because I'm in Christ Jesus,
because I am in Christ Jesus,
I cannot be condemned.
Although
there are some manuscripts that add to this verse, hear me. Listen carefully to this footnote because it is probably the most important. They add to this verse, for those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, the addition is not supported by the oldest and most reliable Greek manuscripts. Did you hear that? Mm-hmm. See, and whenever you read the NIV, that space is in there. Yeah. And it throws off the reality that all condemnation has been dealt with, not some. Right. And it throws it off, and then you end up with a guilt complex because, again, of a lack of coordinates. And when I read that again today, I said, Lord, This is super, super, super important. Okay? I want you to close your eyes and I want you to repeat it. Those who are in Christ Jesus.
Those who are in Christ Jesus.
That's me.
That's me.
I cannot be condemned.
I cannot be condemned.
Even though some add to this verse. I'm going to stick with the old. The original. No condemnation.
No condemnation.
He took it all. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulse of the Holy Spirit, impulse, spark. Got it? Pursue spiritual realities. For the sense and reason of the flesh is death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. That's you and me. The mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focuses on the flesh fight God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. And if you are not joined if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of him. Now, again, that's clear, but there's a footnote there. And it says, this is an unusual Greek clause that can be translated. If anyone is not joined to the Spirit of Christ, he cannot be himself. A similar construction is used in Luke 15:17. The prodigal son came to himself. He awakened. Amen? And when he did, everything changed. Okay? Verse 10. Now Christ lives his life in me. I changed the words, got it? And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Got it? I am fully accepted. Does that cancel somebody else's opinion? Does it cancel your opinion? Mm-hmm. If I'm fully accepted by God, who am I trying to please? Him. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in me, he will also raise my dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into me. Did you get verse 11? Say it with me. Close your eyes. Say, God.
God.
I am in agreement.
I am in agreement.
You raised Jesus to life.
You raised Jesus to life.
And since God's Spirit
of resurrection lives in me,
he will also raise my dying body
to life
by the same Spirit
that breathes life into me.
What I'm hearing in my heart is, Are you ready? Say, do it again. Say, Christ lives his life in me.
Christ lives his life in me.
Even though my body may be dead. Because of the effects of sin.
His
life-giving
spirit.
Imparts life to me.
Because I am fully accepted.
By God. Who's my Father. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. Say it with me. God raised Jesus to life. And since God's Spirit of Resurrection,
lives in me,
He will also raise my dying body,
to life.
By the same Spirit. That breathes life into me.
That includes my tummy. That includes my heart.
That includes my emotions. And that includes my soul.
Who's changing day by day.
By the influence of my spirit.
Which is full of Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claim on us at all, and we have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. For when you live controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste of his abundant life. So, mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit, and you did not receive the spirit of religion's duties, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough, but you have received the spirit of full acceptance. Say, I have received the spirit of full acceptance.
Enfolding me
into the family of God. Hallelujah. I will never feel orphaned. For as he rises up within me, my spirit joins him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. And see, since we are his true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided we accept his suffering as our own. Now, I put a star there because there's a footnote that I want you to see. If we suffer jointly, we will enjoy glory jointly. I said, Lord, that confirms the word from Sunday. See, there's all kinds of suffering. Mental torment can be hell on wheels. I mean, my brother said, you know, give me something that I can hold on to because I'm being tormented. Okay? I see my brother with that. Yeah, we can see it. He's fighting cancer. We fought cancer. We're going to win. But when you declare what he's already said about us, that cancer has no power over you. And before tonight is done, we will lay hands by the Holy Ghost on that side of your face. And you see, Holy Spirit is trying to make us see that we, yes, go through suffering. We go through torment. We go through heartaches. We go through all kinds of stuff. But we're not beaten down to the point where we can't have a spark bring us back to life. Amen. So put your hand over your heart right now. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
I really understand. Whatever suffering I've been through,
it's
nothing compared to what you went through.
But it might be a sample
that I can understand
what you went through for me.
And I'm grateful
that I have a little spark
of life that comes.
Sometimes when I least expect it.
And you continue healing my heart.
And for our brother in Canada,
right now,
we're putting our hand
on the side of our face
in agreement with him.
And we say to that cancer,
dry up right now.
At the fruit,
has to completely dry up.
Down to the very root.
In Jesus' name,
we curse the works of cancer.
We cancel the anointing of cancer.
And the fear of cancer.
You cannot dominate this house.
You cannot dominate our brother.
And we declare now.
The spirit of life is in you.
And we command that darkness
to loose and let you go.
And we release now
complete restoration
to the flesh,
down to the very roots.
Life.
And the purity of life.
Because Jesus already paid for this healing.
And we receive that healing with you.
In Jesus' name.
You are a son
of the Most High God.
And the benefits are intense.
The spirit of life
is inside of you.
And it's radiating right up to your body.
Exactly into that side of your face.
Let the fire come.
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 Let the fire come. Let the fire
come. Let the fire come. Let the fire come.
Let the fire come. And the fear has to go.
In Jesus' name.
God did not give you a spirit of fear.
He gave you power, love, and a sound mind.
And the spirit of life of Christ
in you
is sparking right now
with full fervor
and full strength
of the resurrection life
flowing right now
into every fiber of your flesh.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Shall be it.
So be it.
Amen.